From the Salvation Army, welcome to the Holiness Podcast with Lieutenant Colonel Vern Jewett. In this monthly Bible study, we'll be exploring God's gift of holiness, which is offered to every Christian. To download this month's study guide, visit us at salvationarmysoundcast.org/holiness.
Hi, I'm Vern Jewett, and we are excited that you are listening to the Holiness Podcast. Thanks to the Salvation Army Southern Territory, I am able to share with you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news for the whole world, but also about the life-empowering, intimate relationship with God that every Christian can experience every day. These podcasts will focus on what the Bible teaches about the holiness of God and God's plan and provision that His people live holy lives. Each podcast will feature a textual or topical Bible study, often a combination of the two methods. And it also helps us keep the commitment that the Salvation Army has made to the authority of the Bible over faith and practice, that's what Christians believe and how they live, and to the inspiration of the Old and New Testaments of God. In other words, they're God-breathed. We're going to be looking today at an Old Testament text, which we don't do real often, because the nature of holiness changed drastically from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And the New Testament focuses primarily on the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, very little is said about the holiness of God, even of Jesus. In the Old Testament, however, the holiness of God is almost an imprimatur that everything is based upon. Now, we ask the question, what is the most important thing taught about holiness for us in the Old Testament? And we can hardly miss the central thrust. It is a holy Bible because inspired by the Holy Spirit, whose passion is to make men like Himself holy. And in the Old Testament, it is a holy God who reveals Himself quite early to have a desire to keep a personal relationship with all of His children. Now, that is a prominent theme in the New Testament, and the word holy is not used very often in the Old Testament, but it appears early on in the book of Exodus, and that is going to take us to our text for this podcast. It's really the second time the word holy is used in the Old Testament. The first time it's used, you probably have already thought of it. In Genesis 2:3, at the end of the creation account, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. But to discover what God wants from us in the Old Testament in terms of our relationship with Him and in terms of holiness, we need to go to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read the story of Moses and the burning bush. For 40 years, Moses had lived a quiet and reclusive shepherd's life. Now, you'll remember the story of Moses. The first 40 years, most of it, all of it actually, he was in Egypt. And because of the attachment to the royal family, he eventually became seated at the center of Egyptian royalty. He ate at the king's table. He rode in the king's chariot, and he commanded the king's army. However, because of the way he defended and killed someone who was attacking the Jewish people, he became rejected and, in fact, a fugitive. But now he had been, for almost 40 years, he had been a shepherd living with his father-in-law, and we find him taking care of sheep. There was little reason for him to be afraid, watching over a flock of sheep in the wilderness. The only threat that was serious was wild animals, and Moses had not lost his physical strength. So as we pick up the story in Exodus 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. We find him wandering in the desert or the wilderness. I'm reading from the New International Version. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. That also, incidentally, is Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments are going to be given. But it's called Mount Horeb at this point in the text, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, the words of God in this story give us great insight into Christian living. We're going to call this study Standing on Holy Ground. Moses is alone at the edge of a desert. Rather, he thinks he's alone. He comes to a mountain called Horeb or Sinai. Now, the text says that he led the flock to the far side of the desert and wilderness. And if you want a picture of what Moses the shepherd is doing in this vast wilderness, you might want to envision something like a walkabout in Australia. And he is simply going wherever he decides to wander and take every turn that he wants to. But all of a sudden in front of him, he sees a bush in flames that keeps burning without being consumed. He hears a voice calling his name and telling him to remove his sandals. The ground is now holy with God's presence. Moses soon hears what God has in mind. It has to do with a mission that will change his life. For the rest of his life, God has made a desert place Moses' holy ground, a life-transforming holy ground. Now, we know of other instances like this throughout the Bible. Joshua had a similar encounter on a Jericho road where, as it's recorded in Joshua 5:13, the commander of the Lord's heavenly force meets him, and Joshua not only removes his sandals, but falls prostrate. He is on holy ground, and his life is changed forever. And you remember the calling in the life of Isaiah, who was worshiping in the temple, when the worship suddenly becomes an overwhelming vision of God's holiness and a prophetic call that redefined and redirected Isaiah's future. So we're looking at a desert place, a road, a temple sanctuary, all become holy ground, places of beginnings, of calling, of transformation. I imagine some of you thought of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, where the holy ground is found on a trip to Damascus, where a bright light blinds him and he hears the voice of Jesus. After his sight is restored, he tries to understand this holy ground, this new place where he now stands. Eventually, Paul makes sense of it and gives it a name which brings his full understanding to it. In Romans 5:1-2, it says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." So the mature Paul, who has joined this group of people that have been called on holy ground, is understood as a place of God's grace. As we look at this passage, I want to call 3 points to your attention. The text said that Moses, when he was leading the sheep in the wilderness, turned aside to see, or had gone over to look. The first thing that Moses did, and that I'm going to suggest we need to do in order to have the kind of relationship that God is giving us with the privilege of standing on holy ground, is God saying, "Answer me." Now, it's important to note the correct order of things here. God has acted first. He sets the bush on fire. And when Moses comes over to investigate, he speaks. He acts first. And Moses must respond. This is the first direct revelation of God to man as the Holy One. Later in Exodus, we're going to see the word holy used for the third time in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But here, the revelation of the Almighty Creator was to be followed by that of the Holy One making holy. Only in Exodus, with the calling of Moses, does this teaching on holiness become a fact of great importance. It prefigured the revelation which was to come about holiness in the rest of the Word of God. What's new about God's revelation and holiness? Well, what's new here and new in the Bible up to this point is that holiness is found in a personal relationship with God. Standing on holy ground means having that personal relationship with God. Moses, and Moses' job was to answer God. You know, sometimes it's comforting to be called by your name. I remember a few years ago, I was traveling in Arizona, far away from my home in the South, and I went to an ATM in a little town, and surprisingly was greeted by the machine saying, "Hello, Vern Jewett." It's interesting to me that I felt somewhat comforted. in that unknown place traveling far away to hear, even if it was a machine, speaking my name. Moses, Moses, God says. Remember the order of things. God has acted. Moses must respond. He's acted in the bush and now has called Moses. When man looks, God calls. When man turns to see, God speaks. If men and women would only stop and look and listen, God would speak to them. An encouraging word to Christians, and I know that many of you listening are Bible students and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what God said. Verse 7, he said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. How about you today as a listener? Remember, God knows you personally. Hasn't he spoken to you? Well, if you're a believer, he certainly has. Perhaps you have not thought about what God has said to you recently. Do you remember when he last spoke to you? What did he say? What did you hear? God tells Moses that he is now about to reveal himself in a new character. Up to this point, he had been known to Abraham as God Almighty, the God of promise. In fact, through Genesis and the story of the patriarchs, he was the God of promise, God Almighty. He now shows himself as Jehovah, the God of fulfillment, especially in the redemption and deliverance of his people from the oppression he had foretold to Abraham. It is Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer, who now appears. And it is the presence of this Holy One that makes the ground holy. And he says to Moses, answer me. Then the story takes us to the second invitation of God, which is directed to Moses, know me. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, the text tells us. For the place you are standing, Moses, is holy ground. There's two beautiful truths I want to suggest out of this part of the story. When God is saying to Moses, know me. First, God comes personally. Moses, Moses. But then he identifies himself. In verse 6, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What a tender manner for God to reveal himself to Moses. He does not say, I'm the God of majesty, of eternity, whose habitation is unapproachable, whose power is infinite. He says to Moses, I am the God of your father. Could any designation have been more tender? Was it not precisely the best way to arrest the attention of Moses? I'm the God of your father, the God of your home, the God of your fireside, the God around whose name cluster the tenderest and purest associations of life. Again and again in this meeting with Moses, God declares himself to be the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is thus the God of generations, of individuals, and of the whole human family. There's something inexpressibly beautiful in the idea that God is the God of the Father and of the Son and of all their descendants, the one God making humanity his whole family. But what a revelation. We can know him. God is doing something wonderful here. Moses is the first, but he makes the same offer to all of us. Because of Christ's sacrifice and because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, God is saying, you can know me. You can live your life with close personal relations with me. But how? How can we know him? Well, this unfolding drama of God revealing himself as holy tells us to do something. Notice it's not to come any closer, not yet. Instead, he says, take off your shoes. This is the first sense of unworthiness or sin in relation to the holy God. God is now talking about his holiness and our sinfulness. And suddenly, in our text, Moses was aware of something, his shoes. Innately, he knew you don't stand in front of God with your shoes on. You take them off. Try it sometime. Walk into your bedroom and stand, as it were, in his presence. Then bend down and take off your shoes. How does it make you feel? I don't know, but I do know that when you take your shoes off, it makes me feel kind of silly and small, and just about the size we really are before God. It's holy ground, you see, and it's holy because he's standing on it too, the one whose feet are like burnished brass, places them along your, my little crooked ones. In standing upon holy ground, all this must be put away. It is with naked feet, naked and stripped of every covering, that man must bow before a holy God. Our utter unfitness to draw near or have any dealings with the Holy One is the first lesson we have to learn if we are to participate in his holiness. That put off must exercise its power through our whole being until we come to realize the full extent of its meaning in the great Pauline statement, put off the old man and put on the Lord Jesus, and what the putting off of the body of the flesh really is. Yes, to know him, we must meet him personally, and we must stand as humble sinners. Then we can know him. So Moses is called upon, as are each of us, to answer him, to know him, and finally, to follow him. For the rest of chapter 3 and half of chapter 4, we're encountering Moses, the Moses who will make every excuse before finally saying, here I am, Lord. You'll remember he says, here I am, Lord, send Aaron. But for our purposes today, we will recognize that to follow God is to live our lives standing on holy ground. Wherever Jesus stands is holy ground. His presence confers holiness. His words and actions define it. His life is an invitation to join him on the holy ground of wherever we are. That's how we follow him. His name for this everywhere place is the kingdom of God, and it's here and there. It can be anywhere. Anywhere can be a place of new beginnings. Anywhere can be holy ground. Any moment can be holy time. Jesus said to his disciples, look, I myself will be with you every day. You remember that's the last sentence in the Gospel of Matthew, right at the end of the Great Commission. The NIV says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. One translator has said, look, I myself will be with you every day. Follow me is being able to recognize that wonderful truth, recognizing holy ground. The presence of the kingdom of God in our midst is Jesus' invitation to stand with him on the ground he makes holy. Imagine the many places we see him. We see him proclaiming hope to the hopeless, and we're on holy ground. We see him curing sick and healing cripples, and we're on holy ground. We see him standing alongside the poor and oppressed, and we are on holy ground. We see him looking into the hearts of men and women, calling them to their true humanity, and we are on holy ground. We see Jesus refusing to take the mantle of worldly power, and we are on holy ground. We see him confronting the power structures and the powerful people of this world with the power of strong love, and we are on holy ground. Those examples are given to us by Commissioner Phil Needham in his book Following Rabbi Jesus. This is March, and we are in the middle of the Lenten season. And so I would add, we see him on a cross, paying the full price of this unbelievable reclamation project of his, and we are on holy ground. Wherever Jesus was, it became holy ground, a place of transformation. Just as for Moses, wherever Jesus is, and he is with us, becomes holy ground. Are you standing on holy ground today? Are you allowing God right now to transform your life as he desires? Are you experiencing the close, intimate relationship with Jesus that God called Moses to experience and calls us to experience as well? Well, he has spoken. We must answer him. Like Moses, we must respond to his invitation to know him, and then we must follow him. There's a beautiful chorus we sing in the Salvation Army that comes to my mind. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Dear friends, are you standing on holy ground? I pray that you are. Standing on holy ground, as we've learned, is the equivalent of having a personal relationship with God. I think many of us would be challenged if we were asked to find the place in the Old Testament or somewhere where we were invited to the kind of intimate relationship with God that the New Testament offers to us through the presence and indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. Well, here it is. Way back in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, as God encounters, calls Moses to set his people free, he invites him to live a life of standing on holy ground. I would like to bring our study to an end by having a word of prayer with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word and for your Holy Spirit who leads us into truth and interprets your word for us. Right at this moment, having spent some 30 minutes or so looking at the encounter, the first encounter of Moses with you, and seeing that you reached out to him and called him to answer you and to know you and to follow you, it is my prayer that every listener and that I will be faithful in seeking to stand on holy ground every day. With that comes an understanding and an awareness, a consuming awareness that you are always with us. You have called us to be set apart, to be holy, and you want us to follow you and to live lives set apart for you. Grant us that strength. Keep every listener right now in the palm of your hand, meet every need, assure every heart, and we will continue to seek you and to do our best to be followers of you. And may we recognize over and over again, today and every day, that we stand on holy ground because you are intimately with us in every part of our lives. We pray this with confidence and with gratitude. You have never failed us. We ask that you answer our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope this has been a helpful study for you. I enjoyed very much looking and considering what it means to stand on holy ground. We'll look forward to meeting again next month We invite you to join us. And until then, this is Vern Jewett saying may God bless you, and we'll see you next month on the Holiness Podcast.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, questions, or prayer requests. Visit us at salvationarmysoundcast.org/holiness. And if you're enjoying this Bible study, share it with a friend. They can subscribe wherever they get their podcasts.